Welcome to a brand new episode of the ZT Podcast, where three friends come together in order to find the last Jedi. As always, I am your scrawling yellow text, Zach.
I am the black space backdrop, Zach.
I am the ominous music score, Steven.
And we got a trailer for The Last Jedi this week, but we're not going to talk about it right now.
Not yet. Because we save that for later.
Dirty okay. Tease.
So the thing is I watched the trailer. So I was in the mountains for 3 days this week.
In your classic format.
Yeah, I was in the mountains for 3 days this week, and then I'm trying to catch up on Twitter now that I'm finally back in the city with cell phone reception. I'm like, just going to scroll through. And then all of a sudden, I see Star Wars The Last Jedi trailer official from the Star Wars Twitter account. And I just like double fist pump in the air. I'm like, there's a new trailer. And then all 48 of my students
a new
on the
teaser
bus
trailer. Because
they're
not
just
real
like
trailers.
Stared at me.
But they
the word teaser, it's a Princess Bride.
Teaser is like 15 seconds. This was a full trailer.
Like, yeah, the word teaser has become like Princess Bride. Like, you keep using that word, but I don't think you know what it means.
See,
you're supposed to tease it, not like, here's a chunk of the plot. Have fun.
Yeah, and like, you know, teasers and TV spots and all that things. But Last Jedi trailer came out, and I'm like, oh, crap. So I watched it my normal way. I watch it once normally, and then watch it once in slow motion at like 0.5 speed. Just to see you pick up on things and take notes and whatnot. But yeah, I was really excited. And then I realized how much of Star Wars trash I've become again, because I didn't realize Star Wars Celebration was this weekend. So
well, you never left.
Yeah, I just like freaking caught up on all the live streams and read a bunch of articles. And yeah, it's been a trip of like...
embraced more memes once more.
Yeah.
As Hayden Christensen just kind of accepted his fate.
Dun, 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 dun. No, okay.
No, he wasn't dueling for his fate. He just kind of learned what about sand.
Yeah, if you haven't, that's been like super far up on Reddit, is Hayden Christensen being asked about how he feels about sand again. It's great. And then there's also the picture of him on Space Mountain, where he's going down, and then someone just captions it, this is pod racing. Our friend Brandon was at one of like the resort dinner places, and like George Lucas was sitting right behind him.
Did he touch him?
No.
Did he touch the Lucas?
Don't ever touch Lucas.
Try and steal some of his magic.
Don't go full Lucas.
No, never go full
You're
Lucas.
Never go full Lucas.
We saw what happened with that.
We got Jar Jar with that.
I was gonna say we got like 7 actual actors in a movie, and then everything was CGI.
Yep.
Anywho's
have a fake cast.
So, the first headline this week is that Brie Larson prepared for backlash from fans about the Captain Marvel movie.
This scares me.
Well, no.
As a fan of this character.
I read the article because that line concerned me too.
I'm like, oh god, are they going to deviate that much?
But she put it very eloquently. It's like, there are so many different incarnations, so many different origin stories that they could have possibly gone with.
There's two.
So many different plots they could have gone with. There's no way to appease everybody.
Yeah.
Everyone has their favorite storyline. Everyone has their favorite arc. And she knows that not everyone's going to be happy with their choice because internet.
Yeah. I mean,
I guess they're tying the Miss Marvel. If they're tying all of Carol's history into one thing, I guess.
Well, it's like the same thing with every superhero movie. Like, people have their doubts and their preferences about certain actors playing certain roles, and like the only universally liked actors in their role is Ryan Reynolds as Deadpool and
Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man, Hugh Jackman as Logan.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's only so many people that are like, this is the perfect thing, this is the perfect version of that character. And you know, props to Brie Larson for being like, yeah, giant role, oh dear god, I'm the first female solo movie at Marvel because they don't know how to write Black Widow because they hate
for some
women
goddamn reason.
Oh god, Joss Whedon tried.
But like, yeah, she's prepared for the internet because you can never appease all of the internet.
I'm just very confused because even with her like original Miss Marvel run, I think it only went up to like 25, maybe 27 issues. So there's not a lot of content there. And then you have Kelly Sue's most iconic Captain Marvel run.
Well, there's also Bendis's run, and then there's also...
Yeah, there's like little side stories with her as the lead.
Well, not even side stories. Like, you know, there was a full-on Miss Marvel series with Bendis, but in between that and another thing, it was when Miss Marvel was brainwashed and raped, and there's that whole thing. It's like, dear Lord.
Yeah, and then there was the Kree invasion. I forgot about that. Or the Skrull invasion, where everybody was a Skrull. The
fucking scrub.
Yeah.
Come on, Zach. Get your aliens right.
So there's always going to be that one person who's like, man, they didn't do this story. I'm upset about it. It's like, or you could just enjoy the movie because you got a live-action Captain Marvel movie.
I just hope it's good. Complaining about it. I don't want it to be bad. Thing. That just concerns me when they're like, yeah, it could. People probably won't like it.
They can't even do Captain Marvel because Rogue's not in this universe to take her powers.
She's not saying people aren't going to like it. She's saying she knows there's going to be a group of people who are going to complain. Because every single movie that's ever come out ever, there's always been a group of people who have hated it. And she's just saying she's not going to let that get to her.
Fair point.
She's not going to let it dissuade her from doing it the way she wants to do it. She's not going to try to appease
her. Can't wait until vocal minority that just complains about it being too girl power, even though that's the fucking character. That is literally what that character is built for. Because we know it's going to happen.
Because
someone's
internet.
Going to complain about that.
Because internet.
Yeah, I'm going to be very upset when a bolt of lightning does not strike Brie Larson when she says Shazam. It's going to be a really big bummer.
Just like suddenly, right as the lightning bolt comes down, it just the audio gets muted so you can't hear what she says. Like, no copyright here.
If you go frame by frame, you see her go from Brie Larson to a little kid back to Brie Larson. It's like... Did they just Billy Batson us somehow?
Did anyone else see that?
It's actually a really big hard cut, and then, like, the projector reel goes for a bit, and then the DC logo pops up, and it's the Secret Shazam movie.
What a twist.
Suddenly the marketing Rock shows up ever. And like, I'm here, Shazam.
Yeah, and even, like, you know, it's getting a little bit off track from Miss Marvel. You know, DC's really dedicated to having, like, this Black Adam movie. It's to the point where they might make Black Adam the villain for Man of Steel 2 is, like, the newest rumor that's been coming out.
Which I could see interesting. Because they did have an animated feature where it was Superman and Shazam versus Black Adam. And it was essentially the origin story of Shazam with Superman.
Yeah, and it'd be really...
I really liked it.
See, what would be great is, like, you know, Superman beats Black Adam. Black Adam's powers go off into the universe, and then we get Billy Batson, and when he says Shazam, he's still the Rock. Like,
that would be pretty great.
They're supposed to look alike, you know, to that degree. Yeah. And it's like the same argument, like, with, you know, we saw Logan fight himself. Yeah.
And everybody wants the Rock to be Billy Batson, because he's such a man-child.
Well, yeah, just
even though he's
the Rock
enormous.
Talk like he's a 10-year-old child would be fantastic.
The greatest thing in the world.
Way better than Special Agent Hobbs. Moving torpedoes with his bare hand.
Like, where do they go? They have to go into space in the next Fast movie, right? They have to. Drifting spaceships. It's got to happen.
We're going too fast. We got to drift this.
You see the air compressors.
We got to use the moon to drift around back.
We got to use the gravitational pull of Earth to drift around, or these villains are going to catch us. You and me, brother.
All right, let me tell you, as someone who went to go see Fast 8 this morning, or Fate of the Furious, it got pretty off the rails.
I mean, would you expect anything else?
It was a good movie, but, like, okay, this is a heist movie where they're trying to steal a nuclear warhead.
To be fair, it hasn't been a straight heist movie since 2.
They stole the vault in, like, 5 or 4, whatever.
But it wasn't a straightforward, we have to make a plan. It's, fuck it, we got cars, we got technology, let's just go crazy and drag a vault through the streets of Paris.
Well, no, they planned that heist.
Yeah, Fast and Furious 1, it was, let's steal DVD players like normal people and drive normal cars.
Are you stealing
cars.
DVD players? Do you have a side job, Steve?
The most off-the-rails thing was a guy having to jump from a car onto the semi truck that was carrying the DVD players, and even that was harrowing.
Well, and there was also the mini film where they stole the gas tank in 4, I think.
And then they went to Japan.
Then they straight up just devolved into Jason All right, Statham and Vin Diesel wrench fighting on top of a garage.
Yeah.
Straight up, two giant wrenches for each of them, dueling sword style. While The Rock had a fucking Gatling gun shooting down a helicopter.
It was really entertaining, though, that like every villain from the past Furious movies, or at least this past trilogy, has come to fight with the team. And it's like, man, they're taking like this whole family thing a little too seriously.
I mean, they said family 8 times in the trailer. I counted.
Not today. But yeah, God. Furious, or Fate of the Furious was freaking outstanding, though.
I want to see it so bad. Like, the Fast and the Furious and the Transformers movies are my guilty pleasures.
They're pure spectacle.
Like, I know that they are just beating a dead horse at this point, but I fucking love it.
Yeah, even Max Landis said it was, like, his dream to get on some one of the writing teams for the Furious films.
I mean, that's where you get to test your ridiculous plots, right?
Yeah.
We wound up with Vin Diesel in a suit of armor.
Like, you know, granted, you know, the film's written by committee. The guy who directed the film, it's not as good as, like, a James Wan Fast and Furious movie, in my opinion. Where, like, 7 was pretty great and 6 was probably the best of, like, the bunch.
Was 7 where there was the tank on the highway? Or was that 6?
That was probably 7.
Or was it 6 and then... It was
6 had the long plane ride, like the 43-mile tarmac. Oh, yeah,
the 7-mile tarmac.
The one where someone actually did the math and it would be an obscenely long tarmac.
It was like 7 miles or something.
But then 7 was the one with the tank on the highway that Vin Diesel crashed his car, launched himself from his car, caught Letty, and then slammed into another car and somehow walked away just fine. Fuck no. At the very least, your spine is fractured from that.
He rolled a nat 20.
Yep.
We all know.
Athletics check.
What if, like, the very last... Whenever they finally end it, if they ever do, it's just, like, a zoom out. And it's just, like, all right. And that was our car D&D campaign. It's the most ridiculous thing ever.
I'm convinced it's all tied to the Terminator. Dominic Toretto is the first Terminator. He's the T-0. That's how he survives every fucking thing he ever survives.
Does that mean Michelle Rodriguez is also a Terminator, since she died and then didn't die?
Well, she's the $1 million woman.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how much $1 million will get her, but, like, there you go.
I mean, I'm pretty sure
$6 million,
man.
That's what it was. Yeah. Anywho, speaking of a $1 million franchise, Deadpool 2 has officially cast Josh Brolin as Cable.
Which everybody was like, what? There was no speculation
on
this.
Find a Cable. Do it myself.
Even though, like,
he puts on the metal arm.
You know, 5 people wanted to play Cable or were interested in it.
That was mine.
And this is like, and then suddenly Josh Brolin.
I would have loved Ron Perlman, especially since they're not doing Hellboy 3. Rip Hellboy 3. Makes me sad. Yeah. I cry every time.
But it's really cool actually seeing, like,
I like Josh Brolin.
A lot more traction going for Deadpool 2 now. Especially, it's like, oh, we got the Domino announcement like 2 months ago. Here's this announcement about Josh Brolin. So that means production is probably going to hopefully start soon. So I like Josh Brolin. He'll make a pretty decent Cable.
I think he'll do fine. He makes the perfect straight man after he pretty much played Tommy Lee Jones.
Yeah.
In Men in Black 3.
Played young Tommy Lee Jones perfectly. Like,
even looked like him.
Mannerism.
Scary.
And everything was perfect.
It's kind of unsettling.
Men in Black 3, not that bad of a movie.
Yeah. I heard, like, the first 2/3 is pretty good, and then it just was like, what is
I
going on anymore?
I enjoyed the whole thing. The last part was very interesting.
It's very telling of, like, the franchise. Like, where K that was the time travel one, right?
Yeah. Because he has to go back and save Kay from getting assassinated
or
something.
Killed by Jermaine.
Yeah, and then Kay, like, learn, you know, Kay being there the entire time, seeing Jay, and then it's like, oh, that's young Jay right there. I'm going to raise him.
Well, yeah.
Let's do it.
Well, no, he doesn't raise him.
Technically.
But he lets him know that his daddy was a hero.
Yeah.
And then they kind of shoehorn that plot in. Like, at the beginning, it's like, this was my dad's. He died a hero. And then they go back to him like, oh my God, he was there the whole time. Oh my God.
What?
Still a good movie. Solid.
Men in Black 4.
I'm
waiting
trouble.
For it. Starring...
Dude, no. Men in Black 4, quote unquote, is already in the works. It's going to be Men in Black and 21 Jump Street.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's what I was saying. Channing Tatum and Jonah Hill.
That crossover's already been written, and I'm kind of excited to see how they make it work.
Yeah, I'm very interested to see how that's going to turn out.
The Men in Black Jump Street cinematic universe.
I'm still waiting for...
Ice Cube just freaking... gets an eye patch.
Is it Universal who owns Transformers? Or is that Fox?
Universal.
Yeah, I'm waiting for Universal to finally, you know, go full on IDW. And it's like, yeah, the Transformers and the G.I. Joes are the same universe all along.
Well, technically, you could rope in Jurassic Park and Transformers, because they're both Universal.
Yeah, you could.
Yeah.
I mean,
Jurassic World Transformers.
The plot for Jurassic World 2?
No.
They're sticking with the whole weaponized dinosaur thing.
So the Dinobots.
Yeah.
They created Grimlock. Or they found Grimlock and they're like, we can do this and make their own Dino Force.
Does this mean we get dinosaurs with freaking laser beams on their heads?
Very well. We can finally have that.
Raptors with machine gun mounts on their arms.
Oh, God. Megatron. He's actually a dragon. He's just there. We made the world's first dragon.
I mean,
he
was Why a dragon would you do that? In Transformers the Animated Series.
Yeah, he was a dragon in Beast Wars, the second series.
Well, he was a T-Rex in the start of Beast Wars.
Then became a dragon.
And then in the first, like, new Transformers animated one, he was like a twin-headed dragon.
Yeah.
All right, then.
Zach's learning so much.
Things I didn't think I would learn
today. I
could
take you down a trip down the Transformers animated universe.
I think I'm good.
Beast Wars is really solid if you ever want to watch it. CGI is way out of date.
Let me just add that to the list of shit I'm still not done with. But started.
I mean, Hotshot gets the spark of unity from Optimus Prime when he dies, when he gets destroyed by Megatron.
I still need...
At the beginning of the goddamn Transformers
movie. Still need to finish Rick and Morty. Need to watch the latest season of Archer on Netflix. And then I also need to get through the last 7 seasons of Sunny. I have a lot of stuff that I need to watch.
And then all 21 seasons of Power Rangers.
Oh, God, no. Nope.
Wait.
Nope.
21
nope.
and a half.
Nope.
I didn't realize they actually still use the Japanese footage for, like, all the fight scenes.
That doesn't surprise me. It's like, it's already done.
Well, I
Why
mean,
not?
It's like in...
No one's gonna notice.
Dino Thunder, they literally had the meta episode where they watched an episode of their Super Sentai counterpart.
Dino Thunder is the best series.
And then dubbed it over themselves.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Like, they took That's an incredible. Actual full-on episode of Super Sentai. I think it was Aqua Ranger they were based on. And then just did their own dub over it. And then had the Power Rangers watch that episode. And I'm like, this is so meta.
It's also really cool that, like, Power Rangers does have a Japanese dub. So, like, you have the Super Sentai world. And then you have the Power Rangers dub that they watch in Japan.
That is so weird.
It's so cool. And then the Koreans made, like... an additional Dino Charge season.
Oh, yeah, and gave the Triceratops a shovel for a head. The Stegosaurus has a chainsaw blade now. And the Tyrannosaurus has a machine gun on top of his head.
Classic Power Rangers.
Because fucking Power Rangers.
Why the hell not?
Yeah, and speaking of why the hell not, Marvel released a teaser on Twitter. This is when I was couching up on, like, my media break.
Couching up.
Marvel released this thing, and it just says has a
never do it.
Peter from the Spider-Man comic 5 years ago looking at this tweet or this internet is like, I wonder if we have a Miles Morales, and then it ends with, oh my God,
and then that
and
was
now
it for five years,
and then the end of the thing was just the number 2 in Roman numerals. I'm like, holy shit, we're finally getting Spider-Man 2. After 5-6 years, I can't remember if that was 2011 or 12.
Oh, my
but
God.
But we actually get, like, a true, full-on Miles-Peter team-up again, which is always my favorite.
I mean, weren't they going to team up for generations anyway?
Yeah, but this is their
different.
Story.
This
is this their
is a spider
story.
This is their time. Down here. Spider-Man never say die.
Some people were thinking, like, oh, I wonder if their Miles Morales is dead. And then, you know, our Miles has to meet the dead family's Miles parents or something along the lines. I'm like, ooh, that'd be really Goodness depressing.
That'd be really weird because since the whole Ultimate Miles just got merged into main.
Well, it's the same thing with...
Or 616.
Freaky Deaky, the original Ultimate, or the original Spider-Man, where Peter is in the Ultimate Universe, and then he finds Aunt May, and everyone's like, dude, your costume's in bad taste. Like, Peter Parker was a hero. It's like, how do you know that name? And then everyone's like, oh, I'm dead in this universe. I died when I was 16.
And then you learn he's not dead, or actually he was a clone. I'm not, thanks to Norman Osborn.
Not dead.
Not dead? I thought he was a clone.
No, the Oz formula kept him alive.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
In the same way Norman Osborn stayed alive.
That was a weird plot line, but okay.
And never expanded on again.
Nope, because Peter just left, and then the universe blew up.
Well, I'm just waiting for the freaking Richards to create a new Ultimate Universe, and Miles can peace out. Because Ultimate should have stayed
separate. It just still feels like he's in his own universe anyway. Yeah. Like 90% of the time.
I'm just waiting for Jessica to appear at his freaking boarding school again. Just, it's not going to happen.
Nope.
Rest in peace, 1610 Jessica Drew, a.k.a. Black Widow or Spider-Girl. Spider-Woman, depending on who you talk to. Rest in peace, Ultimate Ultimates. I'm still sad.
We know. Sorry. We know.
You cry every time.
Yeah, and then speaking of other things on Twitter, Tom King has been teasing New Gods on his Twitter.
Because he loves to tease those fans with those images and quotes.
Yeah, he posted a picture of Orion, a few days ago, like Friday. And then with it says, I need some older, wiser being to cry to. I talk to God, but the sky is empty, and Orion walks by and doesn't speak, from Sylvia Plath. And then he also posted a picture of Big Barda and Alan Scott.
Scott Free.
Sorry. Alan Scott's a Green Lantern.
Yep.
Scott Free holding hands. Is this not the true romantic feeling? Not to escape life, but to prevent life from escaping you, Thomas Wolfe. And then with that, it says summer 2017. So if he is doing a 12-issue New God series, like he's been teasing.
Yeah. We thought it was going to be Legion of Superheroes, since he's been leaving clues in
Batman.
Well,
he said he wants to do a space thing.
So, New Gods would be a very space thing.
In space.
It's that fourth world, yo. I'm so excited, though, because if this is like in the same vein of the trilogy of best intentions of Vision, Sheriff, and Babylon, and Omega Man, this is going to be such an awesome meta series, or at least off-the-wall reflective thought series.
Probably very depressing.
Can't wait.
Yeah.
10 out of 10, depression.
Yep. Tom King knows how to make us feel sad, but also really provoke thoughts.
Yeah.
He does that very well.
Mm-hmm.
I just want more Tom King. Just give me more Tom King,
like,
or anything.
It's a 12-issue series that follows Barda and Scott after, like, Darkseid War, or any of the New Gods after Darkseid War. It'd be so cool. Like, each issue might be, like, an individual character arc. And, God, I would love to see Orion again. And Orion has been teased in freaking Green Lantern.
Oh, really?
Green Lantern. Hal Jordan and the Green Lanterns, when Kyle's white ring breaks and you see Mr. Oz staring on a screen.
I wonder if they're prepping for a new, like, Green Lanterns event, because the next arc, Jessica and Simon are going to actually train with the Green Lantern Corps. They would all be there at the same place now.
Dun, dun, dun.
It's the Volthoom
War.
Oh, yeah.
That's been one of the events.
Right now they're on
Polarity.
Prison of Time. Well, Hal Jordan and the Green Lanterns is on Prison of Time. Prism of Time.
With an M.
And then I think Volthoom War might be after that.
I think it is.
Or the Volthoom War.
Which would make sense, because they're taking the Guardian Rami, who's been possessed by Volthoom, or pretty much Volthoom's spirit in his body. Yeah, his spirit's in his body. And they don't know that, but they're taking him to the Green Lantern Corps, so shit's going to go down regardless.
And then everyone's going to not be a Green Lantern anymore. We get freaking Red Lantern Guy. That's all I hope.
We're all lanterns now.
Or Star Sapphire Hal Jordan. That was pretty cool. Or no, Star Sapphire John Stewart. Hal became a Blue Lantern / Orange Lantern during the War of Light. Sorry.
I feel like if anything, Kyle would become a new Blue Lantern.
Hope burns bright, motherfuckers.
Yep.
And then Razor from the Green Lantern animated series is just going to come
amazing.
Out of nowhere.
What's up, guys? I've been here the whole time. How's it going?
Has anyone seen Aya?
Has anyone seen an android AI person? Anyone? She like kind of flew it off
or
somewhere.
Or go to Atrocitus and zooms in on a prison. You see his face. He's just been kept there this whole time.
Written by Charles Soule, coming to 2018.
You're welcome.
DC, we have a new thing once Soule is released from Marvel again.
If that ever happens, since they're trying to hold on to as many writers as possible.
Rest in peace, Marvel. Anywhoozles,
still having problems.
Speaking of other writers, again, you know, transitioning while speaking.
Your transitions are 10 out of 10.
I think they're like a 6. Greg Rucka is sadly 10 out of 10 on IGN. Going to leave Wonder Woman after issue 25. He released a statement on Tumblr just saying that it's been a pleasure being on with Diana. He's still open to be working with DC if a new project comes along, but he really wants to provide work to his indie peeps. He wants to go back to Black Magic with Nicole Scott, do a new Lazarus project. And I think there was one more creator-owned title that he was talking about.
He has like
about.
Two others, I think. I think one on Boom or IDW, maybe? Or Dark? I can't remember the other two.
And then he also has his new Image book with the...
Oh, yeah, Old
Guard.
Which is fantastic.
And then
pick up the second issue.
Going forward with that, Shea Fontana.
Fontana?
Yeah.
Fontana.
Fontana from Justice League or DC Superhero Girls is taking over for
it's
a 5-issue arc.
Quite the step up.
It's a really big gap. But, you know, she released her press statement. It's like, I've been writing DC Superhero Girls. I know what this younger version of Diana is like. I've embraced her voice and, you know, it'll help me write this new version of Wonder Woman. That'll essentially create a new villain for Diana to face, which is awesome because I'm like, man, I'm sure tired of these Ares and Cheetah stories. Let me tell you. Oh, what's that? Cersei's the main villain all along for these past 20 issues? Gee, Willikers, Batman. So it'll be really cool to see some new blood.
I can't hear Ares and not hear it shouted in Kratos' voice.
Ares! No.
Like it's just been ingrained in my head for playing God of Wars. Ares! Like, okay, Kratos, calm down. I know he fucked you over, but calm down, brah. No need to shout. He's not here.
Yeah. There's a lot of speculation that Fontana's only going to be there for 5 issues.
It's been confirmed that she's only doing a 5-issue arc.
Okay. So, and then Gail Simone tweeted out, because you know how crypt is as fuck she likes to be on Twitter, if you follow her, that she's returning to a character that she has not written for a very long time very soon.
And her new tweet is, I might be writing a bit on a character. Not a lot of people have requested I write again. Shh. And then the first comment's Alicity. So.
Oh, God. Oh, Lord. Yeah. So, yeah, maybe she comes back to Wonder Woman. That would be pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. It would be amazing. There's so many things.
Amazeballs.
Amazeballs. Mm-hmm. I'm actually really sad to see Rucka go.
Yeah, I feel like he's finally like hit his stride with the book. Like he has all these additional plot lines that have finally like come together to show like, oh, this is why these things mattered.
Yeah,
for
and he's
story.
Also like one of the only writers that like did something different with like the dual narrative bi-weekly stories.
Yeah, it was interesting. And the fact that they eventually like all converged is, I think there's still two separate stories going on, but they still kind of, this one's more, it's just two perspectives on the same story, really, rather than two different plot lines.
And I don't want him to
go on. We remember.
I know some people are.
Well, Diana can't remember, Steve. That's the entire point of the story arc.
Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
I know there's some people I've heard that are probably really glad that he's leaving because they are not a fan of what he's been doing.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go, people. He's
but
gone.
He brought back Ferdinand, the best Wonder Woman supporting character. Screw Steve Trevor. Yeah,
it's all
Ferdinand.
About that Minotaur.
Dude, I almost bought that Steve Trevor pop yesterday. I should have, now that I think about it.
We saw Steve Trevor pop at Barnes & Noble because it was just, you were off with
Yeah.
It was him and Hippolyta.
For the movie, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw the Hippolyta one.
Him holding a shotgun.
I was staring at him like, man, Kayla's freaking World War aesthetic is on fire right now.
Well, because I showed it to him, he's like, huh.
It's World War One.
That's actually
really
the
same aesthetic.
Well, no, I'm saying, like, the outfits are very similar. Just him wearing the bomber jacket.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. I don't want Rucka to go. He was my first Wonder Woman writer. And I was so, and this is the first time I've ever pulled Wonder Woman because yeah, he same. Came back.
But alas,
I don't want him to go.
I will take Gail Simone taking over eventually, though.
Yeah,
I would
she
be very happy
had
with that.
Some awesome Wonder Woman stories too. She was the one who did like the whole if you clang her bracelets together it creates the shockwave.
Ooh,
that was her. That was her Wonder Woman power. I'm still waiting for Superman to shoot tiny Supermans out of his hands again, just like in the Golden Age, or the memory wipe kiss.
Oh yeah, man, why don't I use this power all the time?
Make out with
Lex Luthor.
Freaking
love that Robot Chicken episode.
Yeah. All right, so talking about, you know, bringing on Thunder and all those things with Wonder Woman and possibly Gail Simone, the Thor Ragnarok trailer came out.
Wonder Woman discussion, the word Thunder was ever actually mentioned. I don't think it was.
Nope.
That's the point. That's my transitions.
7 out of 10 on AGN. Not enough
water.
Not enough transition.
But what are your guys' thoughts on the Thor trailer?
I'm excited for it now. Like I was ready for it to begin with, but now that they've actually like put the visuals out there and actually like set it in motion, showed us the Hulk. Like, all right, I'm ready for this movie.
I'm super excited for Asgardians of the Galaxy.
A lot of people have said the tone has looked a lot like the Guardians of the Galaxy,
which I'm okay with
the whole retro theme.
Yeah, I mean, I think it looks really stylized. Like they know what style they want to go with, and they're like, "All right, we're doing this, and we're going to stick with it."
And whoever
chooses full 80s.
The music for these trailers deserves a fucking raise, because they took a Thor movie trailer, put a song about Vikings and Valhalla in it, and made a fantastic trailer.
Yeah, even, you know, I've been so excited for this movie just because of Taika Waititi is in it. And we also get to see like a lot of really cool visual things. Like, you know, it's Asgard. It's really hyper stylized. But when we get to like the Colosseum world where Valkyrie's at, there's a lot of like Jack Kirby things.
I didn't know the one girl from Game of Thrones is going to be in this either.
That's a lot of girls in Game of Thrones.
I can't remember her name.
I'm Ned Stark.
No, her
Sean Bean.
She's like one of the advisors to Daenerys.
Littlefinger.
Oh, okay, I know who you're talking about.
I can never remember her name.
Littlefinger.
I just said the name yesterday when we were at Barnes & Noble. We were looking at we were looking at
Game of Thrones Clue.
Yeah, Game of Thrones Clue. You're like, who's that character? And I said her name, and I can't goddamn remember.
Oh boy, this is gonna be tough.
So while you guys
forgot how large the cast is. Oh lord, this is gonna be hard.
It was really cool. It's like all the visual cues. Like I said, there's like a really cool Jack Kirby thing in the Grandmaster's throne. But we also see Loki preparing for war. Our first look at Hel. She looks amazing. Her helmet is like straight from the comics. Carl Urban as one of Hel's henchmen was really cool looking. Can't wait.
I like all the memes that are coming from it. Because it's Kate Winslet playing Hel, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's she was in not Game of Thrones, Lord of the Rings, right?
I think so.
I think there was some other movie that she played like a light elf, and somebody put a caption of when you listen to Cradle of Filth once, and it's this, and then it's her all with the dark eyeliner, smashing the hammer. I got a giggle out of it.
No, that was Cate Blanchett.
Cate Blanchett. Okay. I'm going to find this woman's name. I'm going to find her.
I found the pictures and everything, but I can't find her goddamn name.
I also really enjoy like the small bits of humor that are added into the film. Like when we finally get like the Hulk reveal and the gladiator armor.
Ah, we know each other from work.
He just screams yes, and the first comment on YouTube is like, "This needs to be a GIF right now." Thor saying yes. What are you guys doing? Still watching the trailer?
Well, and I love someone took that image like with the "We're friends from work," and it photoshops.
So was I.
Well, yeah, the second one is Tony Stark. They're like, "We used to be," and it's like Civil War 2. I'm like, "All right, that's clever."
God, the freaking cast of Game of Thrones is so good.
You guys Here's are really idea. Fixed on this.
I just want to know because I actually had never known her freaking name. I'm just gonna look up Thor Ragnarok. Here's an idea.
Yeah, I really do. And I think Valkyrie looks really awesome. I'm upset that Natalie Portman isn't there anymore, but I feel like this, I've always liked, like, of all the Marvel phase films, Captain America and Thor movies are always the most interesting to me. And those are always my favorite.
Yeah. Dark World was okay. Didn't really do much.
Well, it depends on, like, what you're looking for. Like, Kayla and I argued so much about Dark World versus Winter Soldier in terms of, like, narrative content and visual aesthetic. Kayla's all about the visual aesthetic of Dark World.
Okay.
Winter Soldier, though, let me tell you.
Man, am I going to be able to find this?
And it is Natalie Emmanuel. Plays Miss Sandy in Game of Thrones.
That's her name.
You guys are so dedicated to that.
We did it.
My Google search was literally Daenerys Advisor Girl. And then it was like, boom, Miss Sandy. Like, hmm.
Good work, Steve.
Google search at its finest.
IMDb has failed me.
Yeah, and if you haven't seen the Thor trailer because you want to save yourself for it,
I would say watch this. Watch it. I would say watch this if you want to see, like,
well, halfway through, there's, like, the big spoiler action thing that Hell did.
Oh, yeah. No, it's, like, 15 seconds in.
It's literally, like, the, like, hi, I'm Thor. You're probably wondering how I got to this point.
That was me.
Also, probably wondering how Vine got into this situation.
Yeah, I am Thor. No one can do this to me. Hell destroys blank.
See, now, if the hammer is destroyed, can only the worthy pick up the pieces, too?
Or is it only the handle the worthy can pick up? Okay.
I mean, to be fair, the pieces would be hard to pick up anyway, seeing as they're compressed dwarf star.
So I'm imagining, you know, when Thor is in Gladiator World, it's like just a montage of him fighting people. But in the cells, he makes a friend named Beta Ray Bill. That's all I hope for in this movie is Beta Ray Bill.
They don't even need to throw out his name. Just he becomes acquainted with a equine-faced alien that people can fill in the blanks. Either that or just walk up and be like, pick up Thor's hammer pieces and be like, let's fucking go, huh?
All right, I found the meme. Ragnarok kicking off like... record scratch, freeze frame. Verily, tis I. Thou art likely curious how I came to be in this predicament. And it's then him hanging from chains.
Hmm.
That is essentially the tone of the trailer. Yeah. Like, you're probably wondering how I got here.
Yeah, I love Taika Waititi, and I'm glad that, like, they've picked up that same humor from, like, the Thor Vacation.
Yeah, videos. It seems like it picks up honestly from that.
Well, and
he probably leaves Earth with freaking what's his name. It's like, thank you for letting me stay here. Jane broke up with me and I'm sad. And we also know that Benedict Cumberbatch is going to be in the movie, picking up from the end scene from Doctor Strange. So
the way it looks, he's going to be in for like 15 minutes, maybe.
Yeah, but a lot of people are speculating that he's there when Hell destroys his hammer because you see two people before the explosion. Said it earlier.
Oh, okay. I thought you were covering your tracks earlier. And I was like,
oh, I know. So you said it. So I'm like, fuck it, whatever.
So honestly, when I first saw Hela, I honestly thought that was female. No, her name's Hela.
Well, are you talking she with the giant crown of spikes and stuff?
I was talking about Cate Blanchett when she shows up first time.
Still Hel.
You corrected me and called her Hela.
Still Hel.
It is Hel.
Even in IMDb, it's listed as Hela.
Comic is Hell.
All right, fine. Hell.
She's pretty hella cool.
I swear to God, if you correct me again on this, when I call her Hell, I'm going to lose my damn mind. But anyway, when I first saw her show up in the trailer, I was like, is that supposed to be female Loki? Is he in disguise or something?
Yeah.
Because it very much looked like...
I think I'm thinking of two different people, because like in the Asgard one where she's like...
No. Wait, when she first shows up in Thor and breaks his hammer.
Okay.
I
thought you were talking about when she, like, the person who was walking down the stairs.
No, 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 no. Mixed up
now in my mind. Because I'm pretty sure that's going to be Enchantress.
No, Enchantress isn't in the movie. It's just Hela. Because Hela has the giant badass crown.
Now you're doing it again. You just literally called her Hel. Now you're calling her Hela again. What the fuck?
I agree with you. It does say Hela on IMDb.
Hello.
I think I'm pretty sure it's Trent. It's the same person.
It is, because they've made no qualms to saying this character. Again, Marvel PR would say, there is Enchantress in this movie. Look. It is all just Hela. She's in the full black outfit with the giant crown of thorns.
Yeah, it's Hel or right. Hela.
But then there is the woman in the green outfit walking down the stairs saying, Hela. Asgard has fallen.
Still Hela.
No. Oh, going okay. No, okay, you're right.
It has to be.
The character is Hela. She's the ruler of Hel.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
that's
just
confusing Hela, as fuck.
Steve.
No, I refuse.
Still Hela.
I refuse.
It's one of Loki's three bastard children. I don't know if they're going to go that far, because Sleipnir was also in the Thor movie.
I think they confirmed that she's Thor's sister at this point.
What?
I think so.
Again, you have to disassociate the mythology from the comic
book. Yeah, it's not the same.
Yeah.
I'm pretty in the Marvel universe, I'm pretty sure Hela is Thor's sister.
Because if so, then Loki would probably mention, oh yeah, BT Dubs also had a 8-legged horse and a wolf.
Yeah, no, in the first in the opening like moments of like Dark World, I think, Odin is riding on Sleipnir, and this is before they found Loki.
Well, yeah, before Loki was even born.
Yeah.
Because this is before Thor was even born too.
Yep.
It's what cemented the Norse quote unquote religion.
The design Loki's design is very reminiscent of Jamie McKelvey's kid Loki.
Yeah. I'm really excited that Loki, everyone has their goddamn helmets again. Yep. I'm so excited.
You got the winged helmet.
When you put the helmet on and then flip the wings down, I'm like, ah, what's happening?
I know, when he first put it on, I was like, that's a dumb looking. Yeah, oh, it's the wings.
Although, who the fuck designed that helmet? Be like, all right, put it on. Let me just flip these decorations down.
It's battle gear, so it doesn't fly off his head. It just like locks into his ears.
It could. I always thought that was
also the first thought I had is, bing, oh, I got mail.
Jane, is that you? I'm come sorry. Back.
And then
I'm sorry.
The fucking Hulk look. Ugh. Ugh, Planet Hulk. Ugh.
It also looks like Banner's actually in control, too.
So good.
Which is... Well, I guess they kind of played on that near the end of Ultron.
Yeah, and I don't think it's necessarily Banner totally in control. I think it's him and the Hulk have an agreement. Like, you can use the body, but we're going to think straight instead of just destroy everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like not one quite step underneath Maestro.
Yeah. But, or how Banner was in a Time Runs Out.
Yeah.
Oh, Planet Hulk look. Oh, they got the full gladiator gear. Both weapons. Oh, so good.
Nerd.
It's going to be a good time.
And then Jeff Goldblum is the Grandmaster.
Jeff Goldblum is Jeff Goldblum.
It's not even Jeff Goldblum is the Grandmaster. It's Jeff Goldblum is Jeff Goldblum.
They put a little bit of makeup on him, put him in a robe, and be like, just be you. Like, wait, you actually want me to be Jeff Goldblum? It's the best day of my life.
We also wanted Will Smith to play Will Smith, but DC got him first.
Look, Will Smith plays Will Smith in everything.
As Deadshot.
Hitch, yeah. Hitch, it's Will Smith as Will Smith masquerading as Hitch.
Yeah, you're not wrong. Anywho, on to even bigger, better news. You can go jump out the window right now.
Shouldn't
have
fucked me over
at Uno.
Does Zach just turn into a minion?
I think so.
You full on turned into a minion.
Yes.
But Star Wars Celebration was this week, and holy shit, there's so much things. Small things that no one really cares about. Captain Phasma is getting a solo limited edition series from Marvel. That's 5 issues. So maybe they'll explain how she gets out of the trash compactor.
That's just the whole...
Before the whole planet blows up.
The whole series.
It's just her in the trash compactor.
Fuck.
It's just her trying to, like, all right, if I climb it... No,
R2!
Too
but it's really interesting. So someone commented on Reddit about this, about Captain Phasma. She's supposed to be, like, top dog stormtrooper in... Force Awakens.
We see her do like
but
nothing.
She doesn't do anything, but the fact that she just gives away the plans of how to blow up the whole fucking planet really shows that she's not really loyal to the First Order in the same way as freaking Bill Weasley is to Snoke and everyone else. I can't remember his name, but it's
Ginger blah, 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 blah. I know what you're talking about. Can't think of his name.
You know, Discount Fox. Hitler.
Discount.
He made a really great Hitler speech.
Yeah, he really did.
Bill Weasley.
Oh, crap. What was his name?
It's gonna... Star Wars.
Something Irish.
So it's, Admiral Hux.
Oh, no, I was thinking of the actor's name.
Dom Hall Gleason.
Yeah, Donald Gleason.
That's but General Hux. Yeah. But it was really interesting. And then that's my interesting thing about her. But also other news, we got Battlefront 2 is confirmed, and it's across all three eras of Star Wars. So we get some awesome prequel shit with droids and clone troopers. We get the normal shit of everything. And then
Rey and...
Yeah, we get Rey, Ren. We also see them fight on the jungle planet. That's not Jakku.
Not the forest moon of Endor.
Not even Endor. But we see them fight on the forest planet before Rey gets abducted. We get to see Yoda versus Darth Maul in a trailer for a split second.
Yeah,
my God. Straight up hero, like, battle.
Yeah, Darth Maul releases his saber, and they see Yoda's hand pull his saber. I'm like,
Also, other cool things is that there's going to be no season pass so far that's been announced, because they want to make sure that the free-to-play players and, like, everyone else are on the same field. So that means more microtransactions probably, which I'm okay with.
Probably. They'll probably do, like, a loot box.
I mean, it'll probably be the same.
Yeah.
They already had, didn't they have that in the last one?
No, they didn't.
I'm sure it'll be, like, some, so it'll probably be, like, what they did in Battlefield with the crates.
The best thing, they confirmed space battles. 24 player space battle and a campaign possibly featuring Rey Sloan, who's in Star Wars Aftermath. She's the main character. She works for the Empire.
Okay.
Basically, her story starts in Kanan, like the comic Kanan, as her being like a young Imperial officer, sprawling all the way through Aftermath, which is awesome.
So I would love to see like a multi-generational story mode. Like, kind of how they did with Battlefront 2, the original Battlefront 2, where it was the 501st Legion that went across the beginning of Clone Wars all the way to the end of Order 66, where you even get to play as Darth Sidious, just murdering people.
I think the best thing that they
can do... We have the Darth Sidious
if
Screech.
If we do get prequel content, play as Rex, play as Ahsoka.
Have Commander Cody there.
Have Cody betray Obi-Wan in the story and cry yourself to sleep a little bit.
Every time.
But, and then we also get freaking Dave Filoni during the Star Wars Rebels panel. He did confirm season 4 is going to be the last one.
For now.
For Rebels. And then
for Rebels.
They're going to...
For now.
They have a new series already. It's called... It's 8 short films. And it's called... I think it's called like Forces of Destiny. Yeah, Forces of Destiny. And they've already released a trailer for it. It's like a 2D animation.
Huh.
So it's 8 short films. And we know that all the stories are canon. Filoni is in it. Like, he's head of animation, so he's involved. Daisy Ridley is in it.
Ooh.
Felicity Jones is in it.
Ooh,
Tia Sarkar, who plays Sabine, is in it.
Ooh.
Ashley Eckstein of Ahsoka is in it.
Ooh.
Lupita Nyong is playing Maz in it. And any other character that has appeared in Star Wars is going to, or any actor that's appeared in Star Wars is going to voice their character in the show.
Nice.
The show itself is a device to market merchandise to girls. And then we also know that it's utilizing the micro-episode format in the same way that Genny Tartakovsky's Clone Wars is.
Which is fantastic.
Yeah. And it's... Some people are like, okay, if this is a cash grab, why use Filoni? So it's really cool. And then we also get certain stories announced. I can't remember what, but the one story I do remember... is that we get a Princess Leia Hera Syndulla team up on the forest moon of Endor. So we know that Hera at least survives
to Endor.
And it's really cool because during the Rebels panel, Filoni was wearing an Ahsoka Lives ? Shirt. And then after the trailer, his shirt says Ahsoka Lives !
So he's either trolling you really hard or this is the confirmation.
Yeah. So it's really cool. They also showed the first episode of Rebels at first season 4. We also know that Kanan's really trying to pressure the romance onto Hera, you know, space mom and space dad. They always act like a couple anyways.
I always assumed they were a couple.
Yeah. So Kanan's like, I think we should move our relationship another step forward. And Hera's like, ha, I'll see you later.
I'm going to go jump in the ship.
But other cool things we get.
Good talk, buddy.
Other really cool things we get. Ruk. You guys don't know who he is.
I don't know who Ruk is.
Ruk is a character from the Shadows of the Empire, the original like Thrawn series. He's the person who eventually assassinates Thrawn. We get Bo-Katan back from Clone Wars. Ooh. She's back. Saw Gerrera is coming back again. You know, everything's going to be leading up to the, essentially what would be Battle of Scarif, hopefully.
I thought they were supposed to do Battle of Scarif at the end of season 3.
No, that was another giant attack.
Ah, okay.
But the rebels got stomped so hard. That's why the rebellion in Rogue One did not want to trust Jyn about Scarif. That's why they were so hesitant about it.
That's why you said, when you said Saw Gerrera's coming back, like, how?
Saw Gerrera came back in, he was on Geonosis. That actually explains why he has breathing problems.
Okay. It was like,
because in the art book it says he has to wear the breath mask because
yeah, it was like poison gas or something.
Poison gas, and that was the poison gas that freaking made all the Geonosians sterile. And then when we eventually read the Darth Vader comic, when he goes back to Geonosis, you realize that there's been like one Geonosian queen, but she's turned all the droids into like makeshift Geonosians. It's really interesting.
Yeah.
It's really cool to see how creepy, these plot points sprawl.
I need to watch the season.
Yeah, season 3 was awesome. We also get, they go back to Mandalore. Bo-Katan is there, which is awesome because she's an amazing Clone Wars character. We also get confirmed that Wolf and Gregor are coming back this season. And they released concept art of Captain Rex in like a jungle scout outfit that looks exactly the same from Endor.
Huh.
And Filoni's been really pushing to make Rex be Nick Scarf, I think his name is, from Return of the Jedi.
Huh.
Because he wants to like, yeah, freaking Rex was there all along. So that's really, again, a lot of really cool small details. I love Filoni so much. But I'm not ready for Rebels to end. But freaking, we see X-Wings finally in Rebels, which is awesome. And freaking Hera's piloting a U-Wing. And she hits the hyperdrive as she's flying into an Imperial hangar docking bay and flies right through it, destroying all these ships. So she shows Han what a punk-ass bitch he is, basically, because he only flew through a shield using hyperdrive. Hera's like, hold my blue milk.
Do you need to go take care of your nerd boner right now?
Or? No, I'm not even.
He's not done yet. He's just getting started here.
We also see Kallus. He's on Yavin. A lot of people want him to be like Captain Dravis from Rogue One, which would be cool and interesting, but timeline-wise doesn't fit. But again, you know, breaking down a 2-minute trailer, we also see Ezra. He's wearing his painted scout armor. We know there's going to be a giant war on Mandalore. Holy shit, there's going to be so much this season, and it's going to be essentially one continuous story versus, you know, the serialized formats of what Rebels usually is. And especially with how season 3 kind of with Bendu saying that the Force is a neutral concept and that the Sith and the Jedi are actually the fanatics of the religion of the Force.
Kind of really leads into Last Jedi.
Yes. Which I will talk about too. And that was the biggest news, Last Jedi trailer. You guys can talk first while I collect myself.
Holy, I want to start with holy shit, that music was intense for that trailer.
I just want to point out the best fucking thing about that whole trailer.
A-Wing!
No.
I think we might be getting some new pod racing going on.
Oh, God.
We had
those. Is that what you think those things are?
I want them to be pod racers. Okay. I don't think they will be, but I so want them to be
so
pod
racers. So when you watch the trailer in slow motion, as normal people do,
I guess our talking time is over.
Yeah, we got our 3 seconds.
We got our one little snippet.
Star Wars trash. Well, no, like you were saying that you wanted to be pod racing, but in that scene, if you look on the horizon of where the sand speeders are going to, you see Imperial walkers. So maybe the First Order version of AT-ATs. Sorry, carry on.
Or maybe they're betting on pod racing. You never know. Things get lonely there on Tatooine.
They're not even on Tatooine.
Things get lonely on Tatooine, so they gotta go bet on pod racing. pod racing. It's gonna happen. Rey's gonna hop in a pod race. Like, this is pod racing. And I will be happy.
Or she'll say something like, so this is what pod racing is.
You guys keep going. I'm gonna go find my notes.
Oh, God.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, no.
Everyone get comfy.
It's gonna be a long, long...
No, it'll be quick.
I love the whole aesthetic of the trailer.
It's very classic. It doesn't seem like, since Abrams isn't directing this, it doesn't feel like it's Abrams, aside from, like, the very first shot of Rey, like, gasping for breath.
Which, I feel like they're going to straight up pull a Empire Strikes Back, have her go into the cave and face her deepest fear, whatever that may be, probably being abandoned on Jakku.
Maybe.
But it looks like they are probably going to do the same thing they did with Force Awakens, where they're going to pluck things from Empire and rework them for this movie. Because again, we're getting the novice just found out they're a Jedi being trained by the grizzled old master. She has a revelation, looks like, outside of a cave.
I also find it interesting that it's Luke who's come to terms with the fact that, like, oh no, this whole Sith and Jedi battle is pointless. We just need to be neutral on everything.
And, like, I didn't understand that when he first said the line, like, the Jedi need to stop. I was like, what? Oh, he realizes the error of his ways. Realizes he shouldn't have been... He realized kind of the fanatic side of things.
Just you, like, can speak.
We need to stop the Jedi and go back to this neutral ground instead of Jedi versus Sith.
Get more Ahsokas.
It's like that's why the Jedi need to stop, is maybe he'll train Rey to be the neutral force instead of nah.
I mean, you gotta be Jedi. Good or light, darkness, balance.
That's what her vision is.
Yeah, she has to become the balance.
And I see darkness. It's like, all right, just kind of squeeze in the middle there.
And one of the really cool things is while she's talking about the Force, you hear clips from the other movies. You hear Princess Leia say, help me, Obi-Wan. You hear Yoda say, seduced by the dark side, surrounds us and binds us. Mm-hmm. Obi-Wan says, seduced by the dark side. But it's really cool. And yeah, a lot of people are looking at the fact that, you know, Luke saying the Jedi must end. You know, Rian Johnson confirmed that The Last Jedi is singular versus, you know, the French translation of the plural thing that we talked about a few months ago. And we also see the Force tree, which is a literal giant tree where a lot of people suspect where the Force originates from. And inside that tree, we see the book, what may possibly be the Book of the Wills. Because it has the old galactic, old Republic Jedi symbol on it.
Yeah, like when she wipes away the dust, it's the old Jedi symbol.
Yeah, and we know it's possibly Maz because it's a glove hand, if you watch really closely like I do. Sorry.
Or it could be Rey
finds it. I mean, it's in that same thing, too, that especially since a lot of people believe that Maz is also Force-sensitive. There was talks of a deleted scene when Maz's palace comes crashing down that she actually force lifts all the boulders up.
Huh.
That she's not a Jedi, but she's one of the Bendu or the Wills, people who believe in like a neutral ground, and that the Jedi and the Sith are fanatics of the Force religion as a whole.
That would explain how she was able to find Luke's lightsaber instead of just, I found it.
It's here.
Yeah.
You know, I found it. It floating through Cloud City somehow.
It's kind of in the same fashion. Mace Windu being the only Jedi back when the Republic still stood that used both essentially light side and dark side techniques, but would not let himself be seduced by the dark side. Like, his combat style is very much dark side. You know, the Vapod. Fucking goddamn, I'm such a nerd. The more I speak, the more I hate myself. But
way too much knowledge.
Yeah, and even in like the old canon legacy, Luke, who reestablishes the Jedi Order with his own rules of like you can be emotional, you can have attachments, which I think they're leaning a lot towards in this kind of fashion.
And he realizes, like, oh, no, that's what creates Sith.
Well, it even makes sense because you think, like, Yoda's speech. I always go back to this as, like, why would Yoda say this when he refers to the Sith? Like, only a Sith deals in absolutes.
And only then, a Jedi deals in absolutes.
Well, and yeah, and then you get in Return of the Jedi, like, do or do not, there is no try. That is dealing in an absolute.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's kind of the, that goes to, like, the fanatic thinking of, like, you have to only abide by these rules, or you can only do this to be a Sith, you can only do this to be a Jedi.
Yeah, and that's what I loved and appreciated so much about, like, the original Legends, you know, Luke establishing the Jedi camp, because a lot of these people were adults by the time Luke was able to train people. And even though, you know, he's a dude in his 20-somethings training other people that might even be older than him, he reinvents the Jedi Order in a way that you retain these light side moments, you retain this philosophical wisdom, but you allow yourself to get close to people because that's what makes you that much stronger. And it's that really hard balance between the light side and dark side, which Luke kind of falls in and out of at certain points in the old canon. And, you know, I need them to show me how badass Luke is. You know, he's supposed to be the strongest Force user alive. Let me see him pull a fucking Star Destroyer out of the sky.
Go straight Force Unleashed.
And one of the cool things that Luke did during, like, the Yuuzhan Vong Wars is that he shoots green lightning out of his hands because it's essentially the light side version of the Sith lightning.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I would love to see kind of the parallel between him and Kylo Ren because, again, like, it's established Kylo Ren is a incredibly strong Force user to the way that he can stop light in midair when he stops the laser beam. Because again, just concentrated light that he's able to stop and hold in place for a couple minutes without straining himself.
Yeah, it's kind of the same thing like with Darth Vader in Cloud City when Han just unloads on him. He just holds out his hand and all those blaster bolts hit his hand with no damage. And one of the cool things, Zach and I were talking about this, it's like, oh, they're showing Luke's school being destroyed. I'm like, yeah, and if you put them side by side, it's the same exact thing from Force Awakens. It's the same shot. So it would be really cool to see the Knights of Ren arrive because, you know, Luke, we see Luke fall holding R2-D2 because the entire thing is destroyed. And it would be really cool to see, you know, Kylo Ren there seduced by Snoke or seduced by Phasma, while the First Order destroy the rest of the school. Like, a lot of people speculate Luke was late arriving at the destroyed school because he was the one bringing Rey to Jakku in the first place.
Kind of like realizing the danger that's coming, dropping her off to keep her safe, and then trying to go back to save the temple. But
this worked for me in my life. Jakku.
Why not abandon this chosen one on a planet?
Well, he didn't abandon her because Laura Senataka is also on Jakku at the same point, and he's the one that does eventually educate Luke in a lot of the Jedi history before Kylo runs him off.
But for all intents and purposes, as far as we know at this point, Rey was just left there on Jakku to become a salvager.
Yeah, and we also know that Kylo's gonna fucking look more like Vader. We see his destroyed helmet. He's gonna get, like, a sleeker-looking one. He's also gonna go full-on cape rather than his half-cloak. His little
shawl.
Yeah. But we also get space battles. We see an X-Wing getting destroyed. We see A-Wings flying, which I'm really excited. I'm so excited we finally get to see A-Wings again. No one gets excited about ships anymore. Give me the B-Wing while we're at it.
What about the XYZ Wing?
No. And there's a lot of... Like I said, there's a lot of really cool things about the trailer. You know, just Kylo retaining his scar from the lightsaber battle. A lot of people are like, yeah, I expect it to be like really fleshy and gruesome. I'm like, well, you know, we got back to tanks. Cosmetic purposes, right?
Well, and I am curious to see how they work Han's death into Kylo Ren's story. Like, how, if they're going to make that, like, the big dramatic point for him, like, the turning fully to one side or maybe questioning his beliefs because he needed help to kill his father.
Yeah. I know. I think they filmed a funeral scene because last year at Star Wars Celebration, someone asked Carrie Fisher what was the saddest scene she filmed. And she said Han's funeral. Like, she let that slip. So,
I mean, that would only make sense. Mm-hmm. You have a hero of the rebellion or a hero of the universe essentially dying. If they're just like, yeah, let's keep going to war and ignore that.
Well, I mean, his body falls into a cavern.
Well, yeah.
And then the planet blows up.
They can still hold a ceremony for it.
Yeah. True.
What other things am I looking at? We see Finn. He's just stuck in a capsule. And we also know that BB-8's going to be with Finn for most of the time in the movie. And Poe's going to do his own thing. And I recently rewatched The Force Awakens. And I realized that Poe and Rey never interact with each other aside from one brief conversation. So a lot of people are thinking, too, that Poe's going to take the Millennium Falcon. Or if Rey still has it. If she still has it with Chewie on the island, that she's gonna leave mid training sequence.
Was Chewie with her?
Yeah.
Yeah, Chewie left with her.
That she's gonna leave the island in the same fashion that Luke left Dagobah to go fight Vader at Cloud City.
Find out that people are in trouble and then just hop in and fly off.
Yeah. Poe can never get into ships properly. They always blow up as he's walking to them.
This time he was running to it.
Yeah. And like I said, the journal, a lot of people think it's the Journal of the Wills. You know, the true natural religious order of the Force versus, you know, the Jedi and Sith. And I thought that was really cool if that comes to be true. What else?
I don't know. Walking Encyclopedia, what else do you got?
A lot of people talking. Yeah, you know, the fact that Luke being the last Jedi and the dogma of the Jedi and Sith. I just really want them to come up with a better term than Grey Jedi because that freaking bothers me.
Yeah.
I'm a Grey Jedi. Well, I'm a Grey Sith.
That's it. Like, can't you just be neutral?
Well, it's like Tom Baker's character in Star Wars Rebels is named Bendu, but Bendu is actually like an order that uses both light and dark side.
Hmm.
Like, he's the one that brings balance. He believes in the true balance too, but instead of having the light side intervene, he chose to ignore it because that's the way the course of the events of the world should go. Like, he got on Kanan's case about trying to intervene using his force powers. It was really interesting.
Now you got me thinking about like the Anakin prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
He's supposed to bring balance to the force. What if he wasn't supposed to directly bring balance to the force? What if maybe
He was supposed to bring Anakin, cause the events that lead to the balance of it.
Yeah, and Anakin trains Rey as the balance or force Luke. User. So he brings balance to the force. So Anakin somewhat brought balance to the force, just not directly.
Yeah, and it goes back to like that whole, like, what does the balance mean? Is it like a numerical thing where, you know...
It's supposed to be like equal Jedi to Sith.
Yeah, and... You know, technically, he did end up bringing balance by wiping out the entire Jedi Order and then throwing Sidious into the reactor.
Well,
pit.
If you think about it, he technically didn't bring balance to the Force because there was only him and Sidious. Obi-Wan was still alive. Yoda. They all died. Fuck.
But then as Luke became a Jedi.
That's right. Then the other two died.
Like as he discovers, you know, gets what, his lightsaber.
One of them was
Obi-Wan
killed by
dies.
Anakin.
As he gets his powers back, Yoda dies.
Yeah, and there's also the other users that live. Like Asajj Ventress was digging around for a while. Quinlan Vos,
Ahsoka is running around.
All the Inquisitors, technically. So it's very interesting to see what balance actually means.
Mm-hmm.
And if there ever
was balance.
Yeah. I think like with the introduction of Bendu and all of those neutral force users kind of makes you think, is that what balance to the force technically means? Is
just people
train the next generation to be the balance force users instead of you must choose Jedi or Sith.
Right.
You could be that middle ground.
One of my favorite things when I was watching, and a lot of people also pointed this out on Reddit, when we see Rey just swinging her lightsaber with Luke on the right side, it looks like there's another person or thing on the left side. So people are thinking, oh, if that's a rock formation or if that's a force ghost just watching, you know, it'd be a lot of people are really gunning for the fact of Hayden Christensen coming back as a force ghost.
That would certainly be a surprise.
A welcome one. No? Okay. Star Wars quote.
Oh. Yeah. Fucking Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks, Steve. Anyhow, I'm kind of... I'm going to refrain. I can go on, but I'll stop. Can.
You've become the Star Wars trash.
We
should have
got Rachel so you and her could geek out together.
We were texting so much yesterday.
So that I can chime in with some geeky stuff every now and again, because I know basic expanded universe lore, but not to the degree that you do.
I don't know.
Where we mentioned, she was on Jakku. Well, actually, she wasn't alone on Jakku. This person was there.
Yeah, like, Rachel knows more about, like, the new canon than I do. I'm slowly getting back into a lot of that stuff. I'm reading Star Wars Aftermath right now, but I need to read, like, The Twilight Company. Apparently, there's, like, a Romeo and Juliet-esque Star Wars book.
Of course
called,
there is.
Lost Stars.
Why would there not be?
Where there's a rebel fighter and an imperial soldier who fall in love and bang.
Oh, quite a bit. How could they ever live together in this universe where their factions are fighting?
Exactly. That's why I said Romeo and Juliet.
Poor Qua.
But yeah, and a lot of people are also speculating. Sorry, going backtracking a little bit. Since Rebels is ending, that Filoni is going to take up a new project where it's in between 6 and 7.
Like, since where did Luke go? Any of that.
Yeah. Or if Rebels is going to end and we get all of the characters move through the actual canon of the Star Wars universe, would be really cool. Because there was always that theory, you know, the Rebels were at Scarif. During the battle, we see the ghost, but Mon Mothma was actually going to send them to go to Scarif alone because they have, like, the best stealth missions and no one actually knows that Kanan and Ezra are Jedi.
Jedi.
Those darn Jedi. Have you ever been dismembered by a Jedi?
Still one of my favorite robot chicken. Have you or someone you know been disembodied by a Jedi? Well, call me. I can sue them for a large remuneration for you. God damn you, Seth Green. So good.
Yep. All right, I'm tapped out on Star Wars now. I'm good.
You sure?
We good? Is it over?
Hashtag for Mace now. Windu was right.
Hashtag Mace Windu became Lando Calrissian. There could only be one.
I'm surprised that we did not see Snoke in the trailer, though. Or Benicio del Toro's character. Since they made a big deal about him joining the franchise.
Well, it was a teaser.
Yeah.
It's not the official trailer.
It's the only thing I'm going to watch.
Yeah, I'm not going to watch anything else.
Yeah. But,
not like trailer. I needed any more convincing to watch this movie. Yeah, like,
well, Max Landis.
Oh, no, another Star Wars movie? However will I decide if I need to go see it or not?
It was really funny because Max Landis was like, look, guys, I loved it, but that was not a trailer. That was a giant advertisement for a movie that you know you're already going to see.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anywho,
it's to drum up hype.
And
it really is. So the second they're like, tickets are on sale, you can go get them, they're going to be sold out.
Yep.
It's hype.
It is.
They wanted to draw people to the Star Wars celebration. So they're like, maybe there'll be a trailer.
Do they really need help, though, for that? I feel like they don't. I feel like they can do it themselves without having to... I mean, I guess it's just part of the whole...
But if you did go and there wasn't any new information, there wasn't a trailer or something,
you would question
if you wanted to go back next year.
All right, fair point.
The year after that and so on to where...
There is literally a Star Wars movie every year for till like the year 2020. So we get Han next, Episode 9 next, and unnamed movie that would have either been Boba Fett or Obi-Wan possibly.
Come on, Obi-Wan. I want an Obi-Wan story that tells... what happened between 6 or 3 and 4, where it's Ewan McGregor slowly aging, and then they just...
Old Man Logan style.
Yeah. And not necessarily... I don't want them to have to use the CG, but if they like threw in, like, at the very end, CG Alec Guinness, that would be so good.
You just keep dragging me back in. I was watching...
You asked us if we had any last... moments.
I was watching the behind the scenes for Rogue One, and it was really interesting to see how they did the facial capture. So like the guy who played Tarkin had like 3 million dots on his face or something. Mm-hmm. Like not 3 million, exactly.
Motion capture.
But he was sitting there in a chair with like the motion capture rig to his he actually looks like a young
Tarkin.
Yeah, I was trying to think of the actual Peter Cushing.
Yeah.
A young Tarkin. He actually looks like they could have like heavy makeup, maybe. Mm-hmm. They could have pulled it off.
Like Benjamin Button aged him.
Yeah. But he's wearing the facial rig, and he's sitting there watching Peter Cushing videos on his phone trying to capture the mannerisms and the way he says things. It's like, I love Peter Cushing as a kid, and then I'm being told I have to play him? This is an extremely huge undertaking. And then just watching them go like, yeah, if we had to use Tarkin. We can't do the Death Star without Tarkin. So if we couldn't get the facial rig thing right, we probably wouldn't have had a movie.
Well,
I'm like, holy shit.
All the complaints about it, like, oh, it looks so bad and cheesy and all that. My dad, who, again, saw Star Wars the day it came out in the theaters.
I didn't think it looked terrible.
Well, but
it's noticeable.
Yeah,
but
it's noticeable.
On the Blu-ray, it looks a lot better.
Yeah, it does. And my dad, who is one of the biggest Star Wars fans I know, like, movie-wise, not extended lore-wise.
Sup?
But we finally watched it on Blu-ray, and I knew the Tarkin scene was coming up, and I kind of looked to my dad, and as soon as he turned around and you see his face, I just saw my dad's face light. I was like, that's what that moment was for. That is why they CG'd him, is for the fans. And like to see my dad's face light up with that, and then the Princess Leia scene, it's like, good on you, Star Wars.
But don't you think they would have put like a safety rail in the Death Star laser by now?
Those poor engineer workers, they could have just easily fallen in, get blasted by that.
Yeah, the fucking
energy.
Blast from that has to be ridiculous.
Well, it's one concentrated beam until focuses
until,
out.
Yeah.
But, oh, shit, one of the big things.
Yeah, he's not done yet.
Sorry. I'm so sorry. One of the things I'm really excited for is technically we did see Starkiller Base blow up the stupid government system. You know, all five of those.
The New Republic. Or
yeah, the New Republic. Blew up all five of those planets. We see Leia's ambassador die, too, in that explosion. So I'm really interested to see how the government fallout is going to work, because essentially it's going to be another civil war between the First Order and
the
Resistance.
It's
going to
be the First Order trying to take over.
Yeah, they're filling in that power vacuum because they literally killed the entire government.
They're the only other massive structure of power.
Yeah, with one whole Star Destroyer, apparently. Yeah, I'm good now.
You're good.
I'm good.
Let's move on from Star Wars before he says something else.
Quickly. Look,
all of Star Wars is all about politics. The Tread Federation did no wrong.
I am the Senate. Right.
Neither did the Senate. Because when you watch A New Hope, you learn that the Senate was disbanded right after Scarif.
Well, yeah, because they mentioned the Senate in Rogue One.
Yep.
When he's talking to Vader, it's like all the Senate knows was there was
an emergency session or something.
Something to explain what happened on what's the planet that Saw's on.
Oh,
Jeddah.
Yes.
Yeah, Jeddah.
Because it sounds like Jedi.
Like, it made some excuse for Jedi. He's like, that's all the Senate knows. And like, so the Senate still exists here.
Yep. In A New Hope, they actually say the Galactic Senate was disbanded. Politics, yo. That's all Star Wars is about. No fancy lightsabers or spaceship battles. Battlefront 2's new mode is like whether or not you can filibuster something.
It's essentially
and then it goes new
Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney, but with
Star Wars.
Star Wars settings.
The Chewbacca defense.
The final boss is Jar Jar.
Misa Objecta.
Well, Jar Jar got like freaking exiled from his country because he was the one. He was the last vote in electing Palpatine to Supreme Chancellor. It's fucking brutal.
Whatever Jar Jar. Happened to Boss Nass?
Who knows? whatever happened to ET's representatives? He was trying to escape Order 66 and landed on Earth.
He was trying to phone home.
Yep.
Yeah, the Senate just got disbanded. What the fuck, man?
Why are you talking about Reese's Pieces?
What do you mean I can't leave? What do you mean this is the only place that's safe? They're chasing me here!
Guys, I think he hit his head when he landed on Earth. He's talking about this thing called Reese's Pieces?
The fuck's a Jedi? Anyhow.
All he can say now is phone home and Elliot? Do we really want him back on the Senate?
Thought, like, is that his password to his computer? Phone home.
Elliot? Oh, God, there's so much porn.
Oh, no.
Is that Shock T?
Oh, no.
Kit Fisto, what are you doing? Oh, God. She's getting Kit Fistoed.
Oh, God, you go to Rule 34?
He did wear them like a Muppet. Oh, God. That's how Yoda was created.
Who is this god named Frank Oz?
There's some people think that Yoda's species is actually the Wills, but there's no confirmation on that.
What?
Nothing. It's a little treat for me to you. Anywho, recommendations?
Yeah, or... let's just do that.
Yeah,
we're running at almost an hour and a half.
I think that was our good discussion topic.
Mace Windu is right.
Mace Windu is Lando.
Did I tell you guys my favorite Photoshop from this week, though? So Marvel's gone back into Comixology and everything and removed all of Adrian Sayoff's things.
Mm-hmm.
Like one of the instead of jewelry store, jewelry, it says grocery store on it now. And they removed, I think they shortened like the bat, baseball bat that hits Kitty Pryde in the face while she and Logan are talking. But they cleared off Cyclops' shirt and put it blank.
Colossus.
Yeah, sorry. Cyclops comes in. They cleared off Colossus' shirt, and someone's like, I don't understand. They could have replaced it with anything, even like this less controversial topic. And it's just Cyclops' face that says Scott Summers was right.
Thank you, Internet.
You are my favorite. Anyways, recommendations. Oh, you guys start.
All right, mine's going to be Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern Corps. So they are starting their Prism of Time, which the basic synopsis was a threat comes from the future and they must stop it. So it essentially just starts out with Hal and Kyle returning to their home base after Kyle lost all of his White Lantern powers. And, you know, they're talking about how the Green and Yellow Lanterns are now working together now that Sinestro's gone. Now they're kind of uneasy about it. Huh. And then John Stewart comes in being a boss. Hold on, I pulled the Zach and took a picture of it to get the actual. So they're saying, like, are we really going to let them build a power battery in our home base? And you get John Stewart being all boss. It's like, you've worn all seven rings, Kyle. Green will, yellow fear, list them all. You name it, they're just guns. They aren't good or evil. They don't have an agenda. It's the lanterns wearing the rings who get to decide. Which was super goddamn deep. And, you know, the green and yellow lanterns get in a kerfuffle. And the leaders, you know, the, of course, humans, right on. You know, Hal, Kyle, John, and I keep spacing on Sinestro's daughter's name.
Starts with an S.
Yeah, I don't know.
But they break it up, and then Guy comes out of nowhere who's been supposed to be on
Sorenik Natu.
Yes. So Guy comes out and with one of the Yellow Lanterns who they fought together and they were injured protecting the Lantern Corps.
Is it the dude that he beat the shit out of like 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he comes out and, you know, like, what's going on here? And then my favorite frame from the whole thing is Guy, like, doing the pinching his nose and the line, can't believe I gotta be the adult here. Lays down some truth and, like, you're gonna fucking get along. You're gonna like it. If you don't, I'll kick the shit out of you. And, yeah, that's the meat and potatoes of this issue. Mm-hmm. But then it also goes to a little side story of one of the Green Lanterns and a Yellow Lantern patrolling, which the Yellow Lantern is named Space Ape. Literally, his name is Space Ape, and I love it. But they go missing when they go investigate, like, a time anomaly. And then it goes back to Hal Jordan and John Stewart in, like, the monitoring room. And you see this flash of light, like, there's a time disruption right there. And who pops out? But Rip Hunter.
with a Green Lantern
ring. Oh my god, does he have Booster Gold with him? The best
Green Lantern. Wait, does he actually have a Green Lantern ring on him?
It's Rip Hunter, and hold on a second.
Okay.
So, Rip Hunter, he's like, I came from the future, where the Green Lantern Corps was wiped from existence. And then it goes down, like, who the hell is this? And zooms on his hand, and why is he wearing a Green Lantern ring?
Dun, 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 dun.
Yes, Star Wars theme cued. So, setting up what is going to be, looks like a fantastic story arc. So go read.
Sounds intense.
Hal Jordan and the Green Lanterns. Rip Hunter.
No booster.
No booster. Yet. Maybe he'll open a portal and be like, oh yeah, by the way, this is my dad, Booster Gold.
He wouldn't ever say that.
Yeah. Maybe in the rebirth future he does.
Pretty sure. Yeah.
Zach?
I'm about to sneeze. Hold on.
Sneeze! Sneeze! Got you.
That's second one was forced, but...
A little bit.
No,
hit. Yeah. I'm trying to think.
I wasn't expecting the second sneeze.
I'll go 7 to Eternity number 5. Because the whole... Now, it's starting to flesh out the world a bit more, like, and the characters, like, they're starting to get picked off a little bit. But now they're... It's... The whole book itself is, like, this really fascinating, like, mind game thing. Because the Mud King, like, his whole thing is he tries to get into your head so he can control you without you even realizing you're being controlled by him. So they're still trying to get the Mud King to this, I believe it's a wizard or some sort that can break the seal that the Mud King has on everybody so they can have free thought again and not be controlled by him anymore. And they get to this point where pretty much the Mud King's right-hand man he's literally been tailing them for weeks now, and he finally is about to catch up to them, and this guy will, pretty much last time they fought, ripped them all to pieces, essentially, or he killed a couple people, and then he also killed their decoy that led him off in the completely opposite direction. So this guy's pissed. He is out for vengeance. So they get up to this point where it's like, all right, we can either go through this really, really dangerous swamp that all has people, but it's controlled by people that despise the Mud King.
So like some sort of swamp thing, you're saying?
I don't know yet. They haven't shown the people who live there yet. Could be a swamp thing. Or we can go over, we could take a shortcut. The swamp's the shortcut, or we could go over this treacherous mountain peak to ensure that the Piper, as they call him, can't track us. And then the Mud King goes on this whole speech about how, oh, well, you shouldn't go into the swamp. That's a bad idea. There's a ton of people who hate me there, and they'll kill you for bringing me there in the first place. And they're like, they all just stare at each other. All right, that settles it. We're going through the swamp. And the main character, Alec, explains, we've learned that anything you say, we do the exact opposite of, because we cannot trust anything you actually fucking say to us anymore. So it's like, thanks for helping us make a decision, because the whole group's conflicted of what they should do. But yeah, it's such a cool book. Through the art's beautiful. It's
Did you ever read any of Remender's X-Men stuff?
I didn't, no.
You would really like his X-Force, I would feel like. It's kind of the same thing where...
I really want to read Tokyo Ghost now that I've read this.
Mm-hmm. A lot of penis. Every issue.
Cool.
Almost as much as
thanks,
that,
Sean Gordon Murphy.
That frame and saga you showed Joe yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. With Prince
most,
Robot.
The most phallic frame I've ever seen.
I mean, there's...
it's a penis, so... There's
a penis, and then there is the penis, and then they went and detailed in the veins.
I think it was the volume before that, but the very first page of the volume is Princess Robot giving birth. So it's like full-on vagina with a head coming out.
I mean, the first page is... I think the first line is, am I shitting? It feels like I'm shitting. And it's Alana giving birth.
Yeah. And then after that, it's a flashback of Marco and Alana just banging
numerous
times. And then shortly after that is Prince Robot giving it to Princess Robot.
Yep. Good old Saga.
A lot of banging Saga.
It's like Game of Thrones, but in space, and people have TVs.
Yep. And then there's that Spider Woman.
Yes, the stock. Freaking stock, man.
And then we have Gus, the cutest character.
Oh, Gus. Who will fucking murder you.
His giant freaking battle axe.
Anywho. Right.
So I was in the mountains for 3 days, so I didn't really get a chance to read anything other than Neil Gaiman's Norse mythology. So basically, Neil Gaiman was talking about not necessarily reinventing, but retelling his favorite myths in his voice for, like, other generations to enjoy. And it's literally, like, you know, things from, like, Saga of the Wolfens and, you know, the stereotypical, like, oh, how did Odin lose his eye? Oh, Thor's cross-dressing to marry this giant. Oh, let's build this giant wall so have Freya be saved by Thor. Have Loki freaking get fucked because this giant is building our wall. Oh, Loki gave birth to Sleipnir. You know, just a bunch of... It's all of those, like...
Classic Loki.
It's all those really classic Norse mythology stories, but told in Neil Gaiman's voice and style, which I really appreciate because it's not, like, you know, the old English driving you, or...
I absolutely want to read it.
It's like, so fantastic.
As soon as, like, I found out what the synopsis of it was, like, I need to get this book.
Yeah, and, like, it's the same kind of dialogue and tone that American Gods has written. And it's just really fun. Like, I'm actually on the chapter right now where Freya's supposed to get married off to this giant so Thor could get his hammer back, but Thor's getting cross-dressed, and, yeah, it's great.
It's a whole thing.
It's amazing. Loki's such a freaking dick. And it's really easy to imagine these characters as, like, their Marvel incarnations just because of the way they speak. Like, mm-hmm. Loki is the hardcore trickster. Like, haha, they'll never expect me. I'm this fly, so I'm going to bite this dwarf's neck a bunch so he can't build all these magnificent treasures. So, yeah, it's pretty awesome. I love Neil Gaiman so much.
Nice.
American Gods is starting soon.
2 weeks.
Woo! Can't wait.
It's going to be great.
Going to cry. But it comes out weekly.
Damn it.
So sad. Zach and I, and then we'll Skype Steven for American God watch parties. Just turn the camera facing the TV.
Is there how many episodes it's going
to
be?
I think the first season is going to be like 10 to 12, I think.
Okay, so we won't be living together then.
No, not yet.
But they have confirmed that they are going to split it into 2 seasons, at least.
So season 2, we'll have watch parties.
Season 2 has been confirmed. Fucking 13 Reasons Why season 2 is confirmed.
Still have not watched that.
Series of Unfortunate Events 3 has been confirmed.
I would hope so.
iZombie got renewed, I think.
iZombie is fantastic. Season 3 is amazing.
Love it.
It's only 2 episodes in.
Riverdale got renewed.
Woot woot.
We didn't do Riverdale.
There's eight episodes for the first season of American Gods.
When the season ends.
Yeah.
Who killed Jason Blossom? We'll spoil it for you. Hey, it's so great talking to my students about Riverdale. Like, yeah, we're going to go to the comic store and buy Archie comics. I'm like, yes.
It's worth it. Good.
Good job, CW. You. I love the Archie comics. Anywho, this has been a brand new episode of the Z2 Podcast, and thank you guys so much for listening. We enjoy all the things that we do because of you guys, and be sure to tell us how much we love you. You love us because we love you.
No, tell us how much we love you.
Yeah.
Tell us.
Tell us how we record these episodes and Zach slaves away. But leave us a rating on your iTunes, your Google Play, your Stitcher radios. Leave us a review. It helps us know what you guys like and what things we can do for you. If you like the longer discussion episodes, if you like the huge long news segments with a lot of awkward silences, it's up to you to decide what we do, but we like the long discussions. Feel free to contact us. We have Facebook. We have a Twitter. We have a YouTube even where we have a couple of Let's Plays. We also have our Gmail at z2podcasts@gmail.com. That is z2podcasts as in plural. And we're all very active on all those platforms. I kind of like took over the Twitter.
Well, because you're the one who gets responses from people.
Yeah.
You've proven
that. I chime in every now and again.
You've proven that Senpai will notice you.
Yeah, Senpai will always like my tweets. Thank you, Bendis. Thank you, Tim Seeley. Thank you, Tom King. Neil Gaiman's next on my list.
The senpai will notice.
And yeah, thank you guys for all the cool things. If you haven't already, make sure you check out some of our awesome recommendations. I would also like to add Red vs. Blue, season 15. There are 2 episodes out free on YouTube right now. Episode 3 was really cool.
Episode 3 was very interesting.
I need to watch it.
Very intense.
Yeah. And I think that's everything. Do you guys have any last words?
No, I think I got it. I think solid. We're good.
All right. As the once great scrawling golden text has once said, love you, internet.
Do it.
Bye-bye.